Take your notes out this morning or your Bibles. We're going to finish here this little four-week series I've been doing from James 1, 1 through 18 called Joy Behind Door B. Now, who wants to volunteer and just give us an overview of what we've talked about this past? I hope somebody could actually do that. We've been talking about this because James talks about trials in James 1, 1 through 18. And we've said this image of door A and door B came from just a really difficult, challenging, heartbreaking time in the life of our family 5 years ago. And to review for our guest this morning, door A is this place of following Jesus. And it's a place where we're following Jesus and we either expect or we think that we deserve for life just to kind of work out. And that if trials actually come, a quick prayer and an easy solution really just releases the pressure and we're on our way unscathed, okay? Door B is this place we've said of following Jesus in the real messy, broken world we live in, where we struggle with things like our job, our children, our marriages, our relationships, our health, right? You know, this morning, just, this is hard because we had a parent-child dedication here. And I'm praying over children who, two of those children, their grandparents have cancer right now, and one of the dads has cancer right now. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about door B, okay? I'm riding my bike with a guy on Friday who doesn't go to this church, and I start talking about door A, door B, and he's weeping uncontrollably for the next 10 minutes. Saying to me, till I was 40, I thought life was all door A. And then Brian says, Neil, did you know last night at a nightclub in Florida, there was the worst mass shooting in U.S. history just last night with 50 people killed? Door A, church. That's door B, church. And what James does for us is he helps us do the hard work of entering into the reality of door B. You know, Jesus, along with all the New Testament writers, makes it abundantly clear that God does not circumvent door B, but leverages it for his glory and for our best. James says in chapter 1, verse 2, and y'all, this is hard when I think about everything I just said about door B. James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. I want to be really clear this morning. He doesn't say immediately you feel joy over the things I told you about. But he does say this, consider. It's a word about thinking and believing. That there's some things that we think, church, and we believe that says there's something that gives the possibility for joy along with grief, along with pain, along with sadness, along with your fear, okay? In door B. And we've said three statements as we've just been slowly working through this. One is this, that I believe God is making me like Jesus. That right there in that place, God is making all those who've trusted in Jesus like Jesus. And we've said that I believe that God wants to give me wisdom. He really does. It might not be wisdom about why or how to get out, but he wants to give me wisdom. And that one day, for those who, as James says, persevere, endures, that he rewards. So we're going to take this last section, 13 through 18, and I invite you to stand, and we're going to read this together. So let's stand. And before we read it, I need to show you my little Bitmoji again, who's encouraging you to hang in there. So this has been kind of fun to have corporate confession here the last few Sundays. Those of you who committed to try to memorize James 1, 1 through 18, so that this is not just another time we're going through the Bible and moving on to the next thing, but we know it's not if trials come, it's when they're going to come. We've said this, we know that we do not know who we are till we're tested. So we're committing to getting the truth in us. So how many here missed one of your days this week when you were trying to memorize James 1, 1 through 18? Raise your hand high. Hold it up there so everybody can feel bad together. No, just kidding. Okay, I did too. I raised my hand. So here's what I'm asking you to do every day for the next 7 days. You stand up and read James 1 through 18 out loud 7 times. Got it? Okay. So let's read our passage today. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Please be seated. And again, I'll just remind you that what we just read are the words of the Creator God who has made all things, okay? Now, it sounds like when you get into this, verse 13, it sounds like James is introducing a different subject here. When he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. I want you to know why I included this in these 4 weeks of Joy Behind Door B. You'll notice that I have 6 words highlighted on your notes. Verse 2, the word trials. Verse 11, the word trials. And then the 4 times the word tempted shows up. If you look at the Greek, those are all the same Greek word, those 6 words. Trials and temptations. It's actually the same Greek word here in James. It seems like James 1, 1 through 12 is talking about this stuff that's coming from the outside, creating pressure. So James, or your English translators, use the word trials there. When you get to 13 through 18, it sounds like this stuff that's coming up in my own heart, creating pressures. So your English scholars who translate it use the word temptations. And it seems to me that in the context of James 1, 1 through 18, that when I'm in door B, it creates this unique and really powerful moment often of temptations in our lives. The temptation to say, God, forget you. I'm done with you. And you know, sometimes the temptation is not to shake our fist at God and run from God like we're just angry children. Sometimes it's this. It's just, this just isn't working, and I'm going to move on to something else. Sometimes it's the temptation to do something that I know isn't obedience to the word, but I'm just so lost. Right? And I want to remind us this morning that this space here called Door B, it may be the occasion of your temptation and sin, but it's not the source, okay? It may be the occasion for your temptation and sin, but it's not the source. I want to use a little illustration here. And for illustration purposes, I need to make sure we're all on the same page. I want to make sure everybody here, when they see this apple, we can all agree that an apple is something healthy, okay? It's healthy food. I know there's a lot of crazy diets out there. So just raise your hand if you could just agree with me today that apple's something healthy. Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, we're all on the same page. Now, I want to imagine that I look out in the audience and I see a little five-year-old boy. We'll call him Johnny, okay? And I say, parents of Johnny, is it okay if Johnny comes down here and eats an apple for us? And the parents are so excited to have little Johnny come down here. And I hand Johnny an apple, and he just eats that thing right up. His parents are so proud of him. He just goes ahead and takes another. And the parents are thinking, man, everybody knows our son eats healthy food, right? And then Johnny grabs a third apple. And a fourth apple, and he's just mowing these things down, you know? And apple seven or eight, I kind of try to step in, and Johnny tries to bite my hand. You know, I'm like, well, that's his parents' problem. I'm not messing with him. And so I'm just letting Johnny, number 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. At number 18, Johnny's good father stands up and says, Johnny, stop eating the apples. Let the pastor finish his sermon, right? And Johnny looks at his dad. He gets a little angry, and he grabs another apple. He starts eating, and he sees his dad start running down for him. And what does Johnny do? He takes off, and he sees this little curtain here, and Johnny runs out the curtain, and then his dad follows him, and we start hearing weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, right? And then here we see Johnny's dad holding Johnny, and he's kicking his legs, and the whole time the apple's still in Johnny's mouth. Finally, when they get to this part of the stage, Johnny spits out the apple and says, you and Mom don't love me. You're making life so hard on me. Why? We need to go to a family counselor together. I want to ask you a question. Is Johnny's dad the source of his sin? Absolutely not. Is the fact that we have some nice apples here the source of Johnny's sin? No, it's just the occasion for his sin. And what James helps us do when he makes sure we understand that God cannot tempt anyone, that God is not tempting you, he makes it really clear where it's coming from. Verse 13, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. I know a secret about everybody here this morning, and you know a secret about me. You and I sin because we want to sin. I sin because I want to sin. My own lust. Now, I want to talk about this word lust because immediately you might just think of some kind of sexual sin. The Greek word here for lust is the word epithumia. The word thumia talks about desires. It's actually not negative or positive. It could be desires for very good things. In fact, I want you to hear this morning that behind door A, when we talk about wanting health, that's actually a very good thing, right? That God made Adam and Eve in the garden healthy bodies that didn't get cancer. That when we talk about wanting a job, a career, I want you to know before the fall of man, work was not a four-letter word, okay? That God wanted you to have meaningful, purposeful work. And that when we talk about things like relational intimacy and sexual intimacy, that sex, this gift between a man and a woman in a long-term committed relationship that we've known as marriage, that was a good thing. And it seems like often these good things become a problem. James says each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his epithumia. Epi means intense or over. His intense desires, his over desires. Johnny's over desires for good apples. It's like the business person who says, I want to tell you about my door B. My door B was one day my boss came in and said to me, hey, we've got to lie about these numbers or the company's going to go under. And I need you to lie, and here's where you've got to lie. And I lied, and now I'm here talking to the pastor because I'm so eaten up with guilt, I don't know what to do with myself. And I say, well, what happened? And that person says, the boss caused all of this. He was the source of my problem. And I say, oh, no. He wasn't the source of your problem. He was just the occasion for all of this. But the actual source was this, epithumia. A really good desire to have a job, to provide for your family, to have meaningful work that became an over-desire in that moment. That actually became something you loved most of all in that moment. You know why I use the word loved most of all in that moment? When James says, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. The word enticed has these sexual connotations. It is the word to describe the longing of love. And he's saying, really, what happened to Johnny was he was loving something more than even his dad or his mom in that moment. And for that business person, he was longing and loving something more. He had an over desire than his integrity. And I would say this, that God himself. In church, in a world where things are getting crazier and crazier, and you know, it's like we're trying to decide what is sin and what is not sin, I want to remind us that sin is so much bigger than individual acts. It includes individual acts. But you know, sin is often this. It's good things that become over desires that we love more than our Father in heaven. See, really, in that moment, Johnny loved the apple more than his father. And watch what James says here. Then when lust has conceived, this is odious. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. You have a sin baby. The language here is awful. And then when sin is accomplished, that sin baby births another baby. It brings forth death. I want you to think about this. When Johnny is running and he gets through that curtain there and his dad is on the other side of the curtain, that's actually a picture of death, of being separated from his father. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's not simply talking about physical death, although that is included. It's talking about a spiritual, relational death with God as Father. We're talking about life and death issues here. It's why James says this. In the very next verse, he says, do not be deceived. Don't get over here and be deceived in that moment of incredible pressure. God is not the source of your sin. It's not as easy as it's somebody else's fault, that there's often something in us. Because, folks, this thing is just a replay of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. You know this story. I just want to go over it again quickly. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Oh, that was a lie. "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it.'" It's not exactly what he said. "Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall surely not die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to be wise, and death came into the world." And that thing is being played over and over and over again in our lives, in some very good things that become over desires. James says, don't be deceived. And then he tells us what is true. And it's the fourth thing I want you to hear. It's the thing, folks, that is foundational to everything else we've said. You know, when we have said, "I believe God is making me like Jesus. I believe God wants to give me wisdom. I believe God will reward." If you can't take this fourth thing today deep in your heart, the others you'll never be able to trust God for, because that's really what we're talking about here. Can I trust God before in door B? So here's your fourth thing that James tells us. I believe God is a good father. I believe God is a good father. And before I take you to the text, I want to say something to you, because some of you, this is going to be really hard to kind of stay with me here. Let me give you a piece of bad theology, okay? Sometimes I feel like God is a gambler. That's bad theology. Got it? Don't go out of here and say, our preacher said God is a gambler and it's good theology. But sometimes for me, it feels like God is a gambler. Here's why. He takes this super, super important image that God is a father, a good father. Jesus is constantly praying to God his Father. When Jesus teaches us how to pray, what does he say? Our Father. He wants us to relate to God as Father. Now, here's why I say, seems like God is a gambler. He takes that image, and how do we get our first taste of God as Father? Through broken, imperfect fathers like Neil Tomba. And so I want you to hear, when I say God is a good father, what I believe, based on the word of God. Verse 17. It says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. How many of you woke up this morning and you were breathing air? All of you, trick question. It was a gift from God the Father. If you woke up this morning and you had a roof over your head, it was a gift from God the Father. If you've got a working brain, it's a gift from God the Father. There's nothing you have that you can claim. You have it because of your brilliance. It's a gift from God the Father. Every good and perfect gift actually comes from above. That you have a God who's constantly wanting to give gifts, a good Father. But can he deliver? You know, that's some huge statements to make. God is making me like Jesus. God wants to give me wisdom when I'm feeling lost in door B, and that God will reward me when it just doesn't make sense. He's a good Father who's capable. You see, it says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. That's an astronomy term. It's like saying the Father of the stars, the Father of the universe, the one who created everything we can see and what we cannot see. From the mountains to the oceans to the fish in the deepest parts to the galaxies. He is capable. He's not like an earthly father who sometimes he doesn't even seem capable of showing up. Or he doesn't have enough money to pay the bills. Or he doesn't have enough endurance to do what is right. I believe God is a good father. And then it goes on to say, in whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Hear this. He never has a bad day. He doesn't change. He doesn't come home from work one day and it's been really tough and just snap somebody's head off because he's worn out, okay? He never runs off and has an affair. I believe God is a good father. I was telling Vila, who's my wife, about this sermon. I said, you know, it'd be nice to have a kind of a fun illustration at the end of this. And I said, but if I don't get one, I'm fine. And Thursday, she texted me this story about a guy who grew up in this church, Chip Wagoner, Fox 4 News. And it's he's lived in Lake Highlands, and it was a story about him and his son. His son, who was born with just multiple physical difficulties, and he's in the Lake Highlands band, and they were getting ready to take a band trip to Hawaii. Times have changed, haven't they? But it says, a couple weeks before we left, the travel guide gathered us all together in the band hall to explain the parameters of the trip. Before the meeting got started, he spoke with me directly about Benjamin. He knew about my son's condition and said, the first full day of the trip will be to Diamond Head for a hike to the top. It's too steep to use a wheelchair. Would you like me to schedule something else for you and your son? Quite a few thoughts raced through my mind as I searched for the right words to answer him. He was talking about Benjamin, who was born with significant challenges from birth, who endured a half dozen surgeries in the first year of his life and well over a dozen surgeries in his 15 years. A toddler who figured out a way to walk when most doctors thought he would never do so. A young boy who shocked me, his Y Guide pals, and other dads alike when in the first grade he hiked up Johnson's Peak at Possum Kingdom without any help. A young man who could choose to be mad at the world, his lot in life, and at God, instead says every day, I'm just happy to be here. 2 weeks later, the challenge was before him, Benjamin versus Diamond Head. I felt sorry for the mountain. His strategy was simple. Use his wheelchair to roll as far as the paved pathway would let him. Use his crutches to traverse to the upper third of the path, then finish off the beast step by step over 60 flights of stairs. Now, in a second here, we're going to watch just this 20 seconds, I guess, they took on their iPhone. But when you see this boy, I want you to know, the voice you hear is of a father cheering him on. The reason he's making it up these stairs is because of a good father who is intimately acquainted, has been his whole life with his door B, okay? Let's watch this.
the winds swirling about, but he's determined to get to the top. Yes, to the top. Yes, he has made it to the top.
Oh my God.
When I watched that first hour, here's what hit me. That looked like joy behind door B. It didn't mean it was all fun for him or that he's not going to have crutches for the rest of his life, but it looked like joy behind door B to me. I'm going to ask us to do something here as our worship team comes up here. And as they come, I want you just to try stay focused for a second. Don't move your papers or anything, okay? Because I'm going to ask us to sing this song we have sang before, Good, Good Father. But I want you to think a little differently this time. You're singing today about a father who wants to make you like Jesus, about a father who wants to give you wisdom, about a father who's going to reward you as you persevere. Now listen, some of you need to just go walk into your door B right now. And now I want to say this. Some of you, when I say God is a good father, do you believe it? I know that I'm asking a lot. And if you can't sing this song today, I want to give you permission not to. Because the rest of us are going to sing it out so loudly, we're going to be singing it over you, okay? So everybody is important right now. But we're going to be singing it over you, and we're just praying right now, Holy Spirit of God, that you would bring some healing to some wounds as we stand together in this moment and sing what we believe. You're a good, good father. Let's stand together. So we're going to close by reviewing the four things over these 4 weeks. We say, I believe about God and what he's doing and what he's doing in our lives. And I want to remind us that this is fuel for the fire. And that I know that some of us in door B were thinking these things and life is still hard. And I want to encourage you that we're believing these things and we're praying that the Holy Spirit of God brings fire to our heart. So let's say it together. Let's say it loud. I believe God is making me like Jesus. I believe God wants to give me wisdom. I believe God will reward me. I believe God is a good father. And we pray, Holy Spirit, right now. In a broken, messy world full of door bees. That you would take the truth that has been revealed through the holy word of God. And you would bring down fire into our hearts that create a people who persevere under trial. In Jesus' name, we pray together, and all God's people said, Amen.